Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Truth Seeker and or its affiliates are not responsible for any strange phenomena that may occur during or after listening to this podcast, which may include the following: heightened senses of awareness, psychic abilities, UFO sightings, alien contact, time loss, out-of-body experiences, ringing in the ears, ESP, lucid dreaming, increased synchronicities, astral projection, telepathy, stronger intuition, levitation, miraculous healings, and or remote viewing. Please be advised to listen at your own discretion.
Won't you come and take me away? I just wanna be with you. Won't you come and take me away? To a place to walk on troubled seas, faith to stand when I don't believe. I just wanna be with you. Won't you come and take me away? I just wanna be with you. Won't you come?
You are now locked into the Truth Seeker Podcast.
Psychics! Everything's ungodly! Dark savage!
Streaming live at truthseeker.com.
She's not a Christian!
Give it up, y'all.
Your portal to the paranormal, esoteric, and all things spiritual.
She's tampering in dark savage stuff!
And now, your host, Truth Seeker.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard the man. This is the Truth Seeker Podcast. I'm your host, Truth Seeker, and we're back with another exciting episode. I always start out each episode thanking the supporters, everybody who is supporting my work and what I'm doing with the music and with the podcast over on Patreon. You can head on over to www.patreon.com/truthseeker, and there's different perks and different rewards and things like that you can get for supporting the show. And you get access to my entire discography, new music before it even comes out, and chat rooms and message boards and all that kind of cool stuff. So I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart for supporting there. This is what I'm doing full time now, and I could not do it without you guys. The podcast is free to consume, but it's not free to create. So thank you guys again from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank the newest member we have now. Last night, I believe it was Kathy Collins Locks. Thank you so much. She's been following my work for some years now, and she's now a member of the community. So thank you so much for your support. It means the world. You guys know that on this podcast, we talk to everybody, all walks of life, all faiths. I just like to have interesting people on the show and talk about their stories, have interesting discussions. And today is going to be this exact same thing. Somebody very interesting who I've been following their work, and I ran into her work through the Vice documentary. So I was laying in bed watching Vice on YouTube the other night and seeing this documentary, this interview of her work and what she does. And it's going to be a very exciting episode. So today's guest is none other than Judy Messaline. Judy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for coming on and spending a little time with me, hanging out and talking about your story.
You're more than welcome.
All right. So Judy is in Hooper, Colorado, and I guess what she's noted for right now, all the documentaries, the interviews and things like that, is talking about the UFO Watchtower. And she has a website, which is ufowatchtower.com. So talk a little bit about that. What is that, a UFO Watchtower?
I moved to the Valley, San Luis Valley, in 1995 to raise cattle. But from the time I'd moved here, all I heard were UFO stories from the locals. And I'd just giggle and say, we need a UFO watchtower, never thinking I would ever do it. I struggled with cows for 4.5 years because they don't eat sand real well. And it got to the point I just didn't have the money to feed them anymore. So I had to sell the herd. I was working at the gas station up in Hooper, and one of the farmers was in one day, and I was telling him about my dilemma. I said, I had to sell the cows, but I don't want to sell my land. And he said, well, you need to put up that UFO watchtower. You'd have fun. So I did. It's a dome building, has a platform that goes around it. When you get up, and the platform's only 10 feet high. But when you're already at 7,600 feet, you don't need to be much higher. But it gets you up off the lay of the land. And when you get up on the tower, you've got a 360-degree view of the valley. Thus far, we've had 145 UFO sightings from the tower since we opened in 2000. I personally have seen 27 of them, and just phenomenal. And you have to think about it from the standpoint from I had never seen anything prior to opening. I never expected to. Then we started having the sightings, and I'm going, oh, my God, what have I been missing out on? But we've had daytime sightings as well as nighttime, and we've seen actual ships as well as the strange lights. So it's been quite the experience, I'll tell you that. And I can't believe that this has been going now for 17 years. It has just blown my mind. And I said, where did the time go?
Mm. As I'm reading your bio here, it's talking about what kind of got you interested in some of this stuff was watching a lot of TV. Watching the television show Sightings and watching X-Files and then hearing these different memes and things that are going on in the television shows or even in the music, in the movies and stuff, you start to put, you know, things together. And it almost seems like these people who are writing these movies or writing these shows, they know something that we don't. And when we pick up on this stuff and start putting the pieces together, we start finding out that they were on to something. So is it something about the location? Because you kept hearing about great sand dunes, San Luis Valley and things like that. Is it something about the location that you believe is special?
Yes, they've had documented UFO sightings in the valley since about the 1560s. The conquistadors wrote in their journals what they had seen. There's all kinds of ideas of why here. Some say it's the spirituality of the valley. The Native Americans consider the valley floor sacred. They wouldn't fight on the valley floor. They'd have their peace talks on the valley floor. Some say that there's an ET base over in Mount Blanca. It could be. There's lots of activity over there. And we have actually seen planes fly into that mountain. So I don't know what's in there, but maybe someday we'll find out. Others say it's the vastness of the valley because it's so large and not highly populated. I was reading a magazine from Great Britain, and it said that the majority of their sightings was where there were hot water wells. That makes sense to me because we have the geothermal water from one end of the valley to the other. So what somebody would need from another world with the geothermal water, I don't know unless they're following the fault line, which that makes sense as well.
Mm-hmm. So talking about a UFO watchtower and creating almost a UFO sanctuary, like this special place that you can come to have an encounter, to meet with the divine, because I know you guys tie spirituality in with it, which is so beautiful. When I started having my experiences going out, sky watching and seeing craft and seeing ships, or what we could call ships that seem to be alive and seem to morph and change and travel back and forth from what we call heaven to earth, and seeing all of these things, that just blows your mind. When I started having these encounters, I had a crew of guys over here and we went to work on my backyard and we cut down all the trees so that I had a clear view of the night sky in my backyard, and essentially created my own UFO sanctuary that we can go and meditate and watch the sky and, you know, try to make contact, essentially asking for a sighting. So that's what kind of, you know what I'm saying, drew me to your work as well. It's like, okay, you actually did it. You built it. You took the time to do that. And it's awesome that you're doing it. And you actually let people come in and stay. I know you guys do bed and breakfast and stuff like that as well, right?
Correct. We have a campground. And I'll tell you what's really been cool about this whole thing is that we have found that people who have had experiences, they can come and talk to them with us, and we don't make fun of them, you know, where if they go to the general public and try to say, well, I saw such and such, and somebody will say, what were you drinking or what were you smoking, you know, and we don't do that. We have very open minds,
yeah.
And we hopefully want people who come to have an open mind as well.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Personally, I think that that the people from another world, I think they're in a different dimension than we are, and that's why they can pop in and out at will. And whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it sure makes sense how they can be there 1 second and gone the next.
I get this notion from just studying the way things work in the world and the government and stuff like that, and seeing videos from outer space of laser beams being shot from Earth and being shot up at the stars or at moving objects in space, and then those objects will turn around and leave when a laser beam is shot up at them. Very compelling footage. I get the notion that, and I want to see if you agree with this, that some of these ships, when they come in, you know, the government doesn't want us to see these guys, where they will try to send. I've seen UFOs during the day, and they were there. They told me to look at it. It was some telepathic communication that said, hey, look over here. This is where this plane is flying. I look over, and where a jet was flying was right towards a UFO that was just posed there, a sphere in the middle of the day. As soon as I seen it, I was like, is that a UFO? It disappeared. It let me see it, and then it left. I have this feeling that the government doesn't want us to know that they're there and doesn't want us to make contact. Do you have any information on that?
No, but I really feel that you're on the right track. We've seen them as well. In fact, I saw one time. It was following a jetliner, and this silver orb appeared behind the jetliner and was bouncing off the jet stream. And all of a sudden, it's gone. You know, it's the same when you call the media and you say, hey, we just had a UFO sighting. And boy, they put it on their newscast and everything. And then you never hear about it again. And I think these folks are hushed up by the government. The government doesn't want us to know what's going on, which is kind of the pit, because if in fact they are there, and if in fact they are trying to help, why does not the government, why don't they pursue that? Why don't they let them help us?
Yeah, that really is the dilemma. And if they are the good guys, because I really believe that the craft that are out there are the good guys. Like every interaction I've had, the people that I'm involved with and people who are going out pursuing contact of the fifth kind, the CE5 initiatives, to go out in an open field to meditate and to pray, to get oneself prepared to have an encounter. And a lot of people do. It does take time. You have to wait. And just like fishing almost, like I think if you go out fishing, you can't just kind of, you know, cast your reel in and pull something right back out. It's kind of the same thing. And I like to relate it to fishing because there's so much out there in space. Just like if we was to look at the ocean, of all of the different beings, all of the different creatures, some of that we're discovering even after the hurricanes, washing these weird looking space creatures onto the ocean, onto the beach from the ocean, which we've never seen before. And there's all types of stuff out there. So when we look into the ocean, it's almost the same thing as gazing into the heavens, where there's all types of beings, spirits and entities and angels and things like that, that are spoken of in the holy books. Like if we're talking about angels, there's rankings, there's orders, there's the Bible calls it the host of heaven, and the host is the armies of heaven and the fleet, and they travel. And I've seen so much stuff out there. And a lot of times you'll be out there stargazing or looking for UFOs, and you'll be looking out there for just a light or something to make contact with, and you'll see something totally different. Like, what are some of the things that you've seen that maybe it wasn't a UFO, maybe it was a spirit, maybe it was an angel, but it looked different versus just a light in the sky? What are some of the different things you've seen?
Well, we've seen the orbs that are down in front of the tower.
Mm-hmm.
And we see those just quite often. And so, what are they? They say that they're an energy. So what kind of energy? You know, we've seen, we had some campers report last summer, three different times of seeing these green figures illuminated in a green light running through the place. We had a paranormal group come and they stayed at the B&B. And they went over to the tower in the middle of the night, and they said that they saw a figure illuminated in a green light standing out there. Well, they thought I had put something out there, because I do that. I decorate things around the place. And I hadn't put anything out there. They came back the next morning to see, and nothing was there. So, again, there's some kind of an energy there. And I think they are trying to make contact. We have a garden in the front of the tower, and they call it the Healing Garden. And it's a place for people to go and meditate and relax and kind of get into themselves. I've had psychics tell me that we have two large vortexes there. And they described a vortex as a portal to a parallel universe or an opening. They spin and they're full of energy. But they also said that there are two large beings there who protect the entrances to the vortexes. But they are also there to help. So if someone goes into the garden and asks for help with their life, whether it be financial, spiritual, or whatever, there to ask for that help. There has been phenomenal results. We have one woman who swears to God that the garden healed her cancer. And if it did, oh, thank God, hallelujah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that the psychics told me is that we have a Christ ship under the tower, under the dome. And I really believe that, because when you get so many in, and there's been 30, 35 psychics in who have all said the same thing, you start believing it. And, you know, my grandson said to me one day, I had to run up to the post office, and he watched the shop for me while I was gone. And he said, Grandma, I saw an alien come out of a hole over there. And I thought, okay, it's a kid's imagination, right? Well, I went over, and sure enough, there was a hole, and there was an area where something could have come out of it. So do I believe in all this stuff? You betcha. You know, it's taken, it took some time to get used to it, but I'll tell you something. There is definitely something over there under that tower. And they say that it's the Palladians, and they are protecting me. And I totally believe that.
There's a lot of people who are skeptics about it. They don't believe. And I really do think seeing is believing. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think there's an inward knowing too, though, before you see it, almost like you kind of went out on a limb and created this facility, this sanctuary, without even having the encounters out there. So almost like if you build it, they will come. And that's so true, because people are skeptical. They don't believe you. You sound crazy. You're talking about seeing UFOs. And then, did I just hear you say that you're telepathically communicating with and receiving messages from these beings or these ships? And so that sounds even more crazy, right? But I truly believe if you build it, they will come. If you go out there and you spend the time and your intention is pure and you want to see a craft, if you want to see the angels, I believe 100% that they will show up, that it's not an instant thing. I think going out there sometimes taking hours sometimes, I think that's almost to kind of prove that you really want it. Like how bad do you want to know? And if you want to know, they will show themselves to you. Is that kind of what you've seen, of skeptics come out there and haven't seen anything?
Oh, yeah. And the skeptics, you know, I get lots of them. But once they have seen something, then it seems like they have been opened up within themselves. And we tell people to go out in the garden to feel the energy, and I've got folks who say, well, I'm a skeptic and I don't believe in this stuff. And I tell them, just open yourself, walk through the garden and feel the energy that's out there. And 9 times out of 10, every one of them has felt something. So, yeah. If you want it, you have to want it, and you have to be open enough in your heart to accept it.
What were some of the sightings that you've seen? And I know that I know because I've went out, I spent much time as well, and you've seen a lot at this point. And so in the beginning, everything's new. It's different stuff coming, but then it's like, okay, I've seen it. And you have to keep the newness alive. You have to keep the newness of it there. But what are some of the sightings that you've seen that kind of made you know that this is real, versus seeing lights in the sky of them parking in space and then changing directions and things like that? What were some of the things that you saw that you absolutely believed after that?
We've seen a cigar-shaped one, and that one just moved really quickly in front of us. It was 11 o'clock at night. We had over a dozen people there. Everybody saw it. My granddaughter and I were coming back from Del Norte one evening. It was about 5:30, and over by Mount Blanca, there was this circle of light just going around in a circle, and then a big beam was shining down on top of it. And I said to her, I said, you watch that. I'm driving. I can't pull over. She was only able to watch it for another few seconds, and then it disappeared. Well, it reappeared about 15 miles to the north, and some kids coming home from school saw it. So, again, what the heck was it, you know? I don't know if you're familiar with Kenneth Arnold, but he was a pilot, and they did a painting of him in 1947 showing the ships that he had seen. And the lady who runs my B&B, Candace, she saw the same one here 2 years ago, over by Mount Blanca. Well, then I had a gentleman come in he lives in Fort Garland, and he came in the following week and said that he had seen it on his property there. At the end of last summer, I had a family come in. They had property in Fort Garland, and they saw 4 of them on their property there. So whatever it is, it's still around, you know? And it's amazing how many different shapes there are of UFOs that have been seen. We've seen what looks like a satellite coming across the sky. I mean, traveling just like a satellite. And then all of a sudden, the dang fool thing stopped. Satellites don't stop. Mm-hmm. The one that we watched, it sat there for a few seconds, and then it went straight up. One night, it looked like a, I kind of thought maybe it was a shooting star, and I'm watching it come down. It got below the peaks of the mountains, and then like it lost its momentum and it started to float. Well, I'm thinking that maybe the downdrafts from the mountains would have done that. But the downdrafts from the mountains didn't shoot it back up into the sky, and that's what it did. So, you know, there's lots of things. I mean, we've watched these lights going really fast and just stop. They're not supposed to stop. I've checked with the Air Force guys that come in, you know, can our planes go real fast and just stop? And they said, don't even think about the plane doing it. The G-force on our bodies would blow up. So this has been pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been here?
I have not. I'm in the South. I'm in Alabama. I want to come up there. I've got a lot of friends up there, but I definitely want to come up there and see you guys.
Oh, good.
Have you ever seen a fleet, like more than one at one time, or some traveling together?
Yes. Yes. And what's crazy is you'll see them going together, and all of a sudden one in the middle just changes directions and goes the opposite way. And that's not normal. Planes can't do that.
It's really interesting to see the stuff, because there's a lot of people who actually captured us on footage. Have you ever had anybody, or do you guys have night vision goggles and have seen anything with that? Have y'all tried that yet?
No. We have people who have taken pictures. We have people who have taken videos. And they're pretty amazing. The one video I've got, these folks were camping and they saw this light and they started videoing it. And it was just dancing all over the sky. Planes don't dance all over the sky,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the weird thing, where you know it's not a satellite, where they're changing speeds and one's shooting out in front of the other. It's almost like they're playing a little bit, you know, that they want to be seen. They know they're being watched, almost like dolphins, essentially, you know, just that really playful spirit about them.
And I don't think that they're here to harm us. I think they are here to help us. But until we are ready for the help, I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what if they would make themselves known on Earth? What would people down here do? They go grab a gun and shoot at them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most folks, they would panic. And maybe that's why the government is trying to keep it so hush-hush. I don't know.
I've talked to people who, if aliens are real to them, and they call them aliens, I don't think they call themselves aliens, put it that way. But if these beings exist, then they would lose faith in their religion and in their holy books and things like that. And there's almost a fear that if aliens exist, then maybe they did create humankind. Maybe they are the angels of the Bible, things like that. And there's a hysteria there, even from like the religious community. I've had many conversations with people, but then on the opposite, for me, it doesn't make me doubt my religious beliefs, but it enforces them to say, no, it's not a fairy tale. Like, there are actual angels out there that exist, and they travel back and forth from heaven to earth. And if you want to, you can see them in transit, and they'll come and say hello. So it almost reinforces my belief in the spirit realm and in God and of my core beliefs and stuff, you know?
I do know. And if you read Ezekiel, mm-hmm. Let's talk about Ezekiel's wheel. What the heck were they seeing? The book of Enoch.
Yes.
It was taken out of the Bible. Why?
Yep.
You know? I get lots of religious folks in, and we sit and discuss this stuff. But I'm not there to change anybody's belief or anybody's mind. I'm there to listen, and if I can help, to help.
You mind taking a phone call?
Not at all.
Okay, so phone lines are open. If anybody has a question for Judy or myself, you guys can call in. We do have a caller here from Northwest Arkansas. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, okay. So you talked about the UFO type things, and I'm sorry, my Kinoline is right.
Hold on, I'm going to have to mute you for a second. Turn your audio down on the computer because it's feeding back, and I'll bring you right back in. Just turn your audio down on the computer. I'll bring you right back in. And we'll try it again.
Okay.
Northwest Arkansas. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Yeah, no, I'm fine, actually.
All right, bro. You got a question or
a comment? Kind of hard, but I've been a lot on your songs, and we have been communicating a bit telepathically, both with you and, you know, Janiga the Baptist.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we just did that interview a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. We had him on a show. You called in during that show or no?
No, but, you know, I'm jamming with you on your songs.
Oh, that's what's up.
And we have this telepathic vibe.
Thanks so much, man. Do you have a question for Judy?
No, but...
any UFO encounters or anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I could say that. I'm not a normal human being myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually being held trapped by the government as we speak. But I'm just waiting for my DMT to reach her so I can escape.
Okay, well, hey, man, give us a call back whenever Judy's off the air, man. We'll go into a little detail about that. Appreciate you calling, man. Yeah, a lot of people have had encounters, a lot of people have had experiences. Some people are scared to talk about them. I do think that's the reason why I do this show in general. We cover a lot of UFO topics here, but spiritual topics that...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
People have nobody to talk to, so there is a show here. There is people who make themselves available to answer questions and just let people feel like they're not alone. Because like you were talking about, people think you're on drugs. I know how many times I've heard that where I was doing podcasts from... and I was still involved in a lot of religious circles, and I would go around these people or go to meetings, and they would say what you said. I want to know what you're smoking. What were you on? I want what you have. And it's like, nothing. Like, I'm being quite honest, you know, and you don't have to have anything. And that was one thing that when we would go out and I would have my own encounters, and I would try to take groups of people out who were intrigued to want to go out. And that's one thing I told them, was like, you know, they want to drink beer, they want to smoke herb or whatever. I'm saying, okay, you guys can do that, but not out here. Let's don't give any room for that, because people say y'all were drinking and smoking and doing drugs, and we want to make sure this is real, you know. What are some of the expressions on people's face when they see this stuff for the first time? Are people just having their whole lives changed when they have these encounters?
I think so. it certainly gives them something else to think about besides all the troubles of the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't get over what they've seen. And then they try to rationalize what it was, and which I did the same thing. But there was no rationalization, you know,
yeah.
No excuse for it. No. So once it gets through their mind that possibly there is something else out there besides just us, and I'm certain that there is something out there besides just us.
Have you ever seen any activity with the constellations? Because I'm sure you guys have a great view. Is there any, because I mean, I've heard people say that they see them traveling, like the Big Dipper, like these beings or UFOs will travel and almost outline them, or I've seen them go into star systems and disappear. A lot of activity with Orion. Are you guys noticing anything with the constellations?
Like they're doing a dot to dot, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, but anyway, I had a guy call me one night and he said, "Judy, are you watching the triangular one up by the moon?" And I said, "What triangular one up by the moon?" And he says, "We've been watching it for 3 nights. Get outside with your binoculars and look." I didn't need binoculars. I mean, it was sitting right there. Sat there for 2 more nights and then it just vanished. But yeah, you know, we have seen some really strange stuff. And again, with the constellations, you can see these objects moving in and out and in and out. So somebody show me proof that they aren't there, because I'm certain they are.
Yeah, something's going on, like you said, whether... And that's what gets me, because, so, you know, you always try to rationalize it. Like you said, you're trying to make sense of everything. Okay, so let's say it's the government. Let's just say it's the government testing out this new equipment or interstellar travel or something. You're just seeing, you know, back-engineered craft. It takes another turn when I bring up the telepathic communication that they're communicating, right? And that just throws a whole wrench into that for me, or a satellite. I don't think a satellite is going to communicate a thought or an idea or an awe of creativity or spark this interest in you. What are some of the stuff that you've seen? Is there a message there? Is there like an impression? It's almost like they want us to return to the arts, to be creative, to enjoy life, to love one another. Like, these are the messages that we receive when we see these craft and stuff. Are you picking up on stuff like that? I don't know if it's a voice or just an inward knowing that you get from seeing these ships.
Yeah, they, I'm certain they're trying to get us to love one another and spread love and peace throughout the world. And if we can get some of this horrible stuff out of our society, you know, everybody should open their heart. They should have respect for other people. They should have respect for themselves. But they need to get the violence out of society. And once that happens, then maybe, just maybe, we'll get to have contact.
I don't think everybody's waiting for government disclosure. There's people who have rallies and meetings that want the government to admit to what's going on. I personally think that disclosure is going to happen through the people. People like ourselves who are making contact, who are having visitations, and it starts there and it just progresses. But what do you think about the government actually coming out, making a statement about it? Do you think that will ever happen or anytime soon?
Well, I just don't know. I said I hope it happens in my lifetime, but may not, you know. It's like Hillary Clinton said, "You elect me, I'm opening the UFO file." Obama says, "Before I leave office, I'm opening the UFO file." Well, that still hasn't been done. You know, the Prime Minister of Canada he publicly said, the United States has been working with extraterrestrials for eons. Why can't they tell us that they're working with it? You know, are you familiar with Sylvia Brown?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, she wrote a book called The Secrets and Mysteries of the World. In there, she talks about extraterrestrials. And she says that they look just like us and they're already walking amongst us. And maybe they're already here trying to get things settled. But will it happen? I'm ready for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I had a young man in, and he said that his grandfather was the chief investigator for Project Blue Book. Have you ever seen Project Blue Book?
I've seen documentaries on it, and yeah, I'm pretty.
But where they've got all of this dialogue going on in there, they have blacked out sentence after sentence after sentence. So you really didn't get anything out of it. But he said his grandfather could not discuss what was going on with that. And he said his grandfather was on his dying bed and said to him, you believe it, it's real. So that's what happens with a lot of these people. They won't say anything until they're about ready to die, you know. But the government has such a control on them.
Yeah.
I had a group come and visit me from the Navy. This has been a year ago. And Strategic Studies Group is what it was called. And there was, I think, 7 of them who came. They told me that I couldn't video and I couldn't take pictures. And they wouldn't either. But I think the one, I think he had a camera and his sunglasses. But anyway, the commander of the Coast Guard whipped out his cell phone. And he showed me a picture of a UFO coming out of the ocean. I have heard that story from others who have visited the towers so many times. And so, you know, they all know something that we just don't know. And I'm ready for them to be on the up and up and let the American public know what the devil is going on. People say, well, what you're seeing is drones. They didn't have drones 17 years ago, you know. They say it's hot air balloons. Baloney. I've seen a hot air balloon. I want to know for a fact what the heck it is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know. I had a guy in, and he was an air traffic controller. And he said that he gets 6 to 8 UFO reports a month from the pilots. And he said he's not permitted to document them. Why? You know, why not? So, anyway.
Yeah, there's
some. Get off my.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, here's the whole thing, even with NASA, with the Hubble. Like, you could see some awesome pictures of stars and solar systems and things with the Hubble. And if we're going out and we're seeing things with the naked eye, like you said, without binoculars, and then you use binoculars, you can see so much more. And then people are using night vision goggles, military grade, and they're seeing so much stuff flying around outside of the atmosphere and doing all types of aerial phenomena. But NASA has never picked up anything on the Hubble. This is how you know something's going on, that they're not releasing this stuff. You can go out and have your own encounters with the naked eye, but NASA's like, we don't know. Maybe, you know, they won't say anything. That's how I know something's up. We can go out there right now if we wanted to and take the time, even during the day. That's when it gets real, right? When you have the night encounters, and then they start happening during the day. So it's not just lights. It is the cigar-shaped ones and the orbs and things that are showing up. So, but I encourage people, if they're intrigued, just to go out there and do it for themselves. If they want to know, you can know, you know. I think that exists for everybody.
I think the Vatican has, from what I understand, this really high-powered telescope. and it's supposed to be one of the best in the world from what I have heard. But they finally came out, the Pope came out and says, it's okay to believe in aliens.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Here he wanted to baptize them. And I said, well, I'm game. Can you get them to come on down so you can baptize?
Yeah, it was awesome. When I remember that was a lot of in a lot of news sources, and the UFO community ate that up when he came out several years back and was talking about UFOs, and it doesn't go against our beliefs or whatever, and they may need to be redeemed and stuff as well, and share the gospel with the aliens and stuff. It's pretty funny, but somebody knows what's going on, and I don't, like I said, I don't think they're going to tell us, so I think it's up for us to do the research and to share our stories on shows just that, like this one. And everybody has a piece of the puzzle, and to kind of bring it together and see what fits and see if we can make a picture out of it and try to find out what's going on. And really, you know, I think how it can benefit our lives. And that's really what I'm concerned with. Like, how can, you know, UFO contact help us out today, help me in my day to day. And I think that it encourages spirituality, creativity, intrigue, awe and wonder and love and all of these feelings and emotions that you get when you have a supernatural encounter is essentially what it is. And I love it. And I'm chasing, you know, those first encounters that I had, man. I'm doing work right now that is built off of encounters from 2012, you know, and I'm still talking about them and doing research and things like that. And essentially trying to take it a little bit further. As we come upon the end of the show, talk a little bit about funding and how people can help you guys build, how you got help keep you guys in business and what you offer and everything that's there. Like, how are you guys able to stay afloat and continue building what you guys have? Because it's a really beautiful facility. Everybody definitely needs to go to the website as well. That's UFOWatchtower.com. I know she has a book as well, That Crazy Lady Down the Road. She has a book available and some other t-shirts and products and things like that. But talk a little bit about how people can get behind you guys and help and even come out and visit.
We always take donations. So, and those can be sent to Post Office Box 522, Hooper, Colorado, 81136. But most of the funding comes from people who come to visit. I charge a nominal fee for them to come in and get the information, $2 a person or $5 a carload. And then, of course, we have the gift shop, and that helps a whole lot. But it seems like the UFO Watchtower has finally come into its own the last couple of years, thanks to the media who have been really plugging it for us. And if anybody is really interested, they should go look at that Vice video.
Yes.
Vice did a marvelous job on that video.
Yes.
So, come on down to the San Luis Valley in southern Colorado and see us. We're on the Cosmic Highway 17.
I got some friends up that way. I'm definitely going to send them your way. The Vice documentary was awesome. They did it justice. Sometimes Vice can be divisive. Divisive. Sometimes they could be divisive. Of painting people to look silly or to look crazy or let's make fun of this person, but they really did justice to your story and promoted what you have going on. Like I said, to build the intrigue and the awe and the wonder, man, this is interesting. And there's a lot of other people on there as well with similar stories. And I got a friend of mine who Vice came out and did a documentary on them as well, Brandon Barthrop. And I had him on the show too. Really cool. And seeing, how many followers he got and people checking out the work after they went live on Vice. Can you talk a little bit about that experience? Like, who set that up for you? Did they contact you or was there an email sent? Like, how did that work out for you? And how was that whole experience?
They contacted me. And anybody who wants to do an interview, that's what they have to do. I don't go out searching for them.
Yes.
This has brought so much interest. The media just eats it up. And so thanks to to them, I don't have to do a lot of advertising. Now, another one that's a good one is Roadside America.
I've seen that one,
and
too.
And we get lots of folks who have looked at Roadside America. But and then, of course, the local TV stations here in Colorado. And they've all, they have not.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Made fun of me at all. Now, at the beginning, when I first started this, the radio personalities just drove me nuts. And it was all fun, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that pretty much has gotten over. And now we have folks who are taking it serious. And I really appreciate it. Really do.
Well, thanks for coming on and hanging out with me. We'll try to send some people your way. Definitely go there and purchase the book. And if you guys are looking for a retreat, a center, you want to make contact, it helps to get with people who are already making contact and they know what to do, the protocols and things like that. It's, you know, there's a lot of serious work that goes into it. It is a lot of spiritual work. And I've seen a lot of documentaries where people go out to see a UFO and they get with different communities and different people. And they go out and they have they see UFOs, but they have a life-changing experience with the spiritual side of it and the work that goes into it. And I've read your work. I've read some of the people that you guys are involved with and seen footage and videos of you guys doing the spiritual work and the prayer and the meditation and stuff like that in the garden that you guys have. And it's just so beautiful. Keep up the positive work and the energy. And thanks so much for coming on to hang out with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Derek.
All right. Thank you, Judy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Judy Messaline, ladies and gentlemen. Got it right. Yeah. Make sure you guys go check out her work. If you guys are this far into the interview, you're still listening, there's got to be some type of intrigue there, right? I think I did it justice as far as using those words. That's what it was for me. The intrigue, the creativity. Everything that you see coming from my way at this point was birthed from some really amazing supernatural encounters with UFOs. And just to kind of address a little bit the whole UFO community and stuff like that from the religious standpoint, man, I still catch a lot of flack from my Christian friends. I have a lot of Christian friends who are still in the church or trying to be accepted by the church community and things like that. And they can't be themselves, right? I have friends who smoke marijuana, who drink almost on a nightly basis, but they would never let their Christian brothers and sisters catch them doing that ever. Like they know that they'd chop their head right off. And so I really love being myself and having and other people who are just comfortable in their own skin, like John Illuminati Congo, like the caller mentioned. We interviewed him last week, and he's a beautiful brother. But to see somebody in being their authentic self, and it drives you to envy, man, to do what they love to do for a living and to pursue the passions that they have and be okay with it. It says so much. And I preface that to say that some of my friends who are in the church realm who are into drugs or into alcohol and different things like that, and there's nothing, I'm not downing it. I'm downing it because they point the finger at me and say that, you know, I'm they're like, yeah, I like a lot of what Truth Seeker talks about, but the whole alien things, I don't get. I don't get the infatuation with aliens. Aliens could be demons. Aliens could be this. And so I think we've done the research. I think we're pretty well versed in the scriptural references of supernatural encounters with angelic beings to know that they take many shapes and forms. And like I said earlier, aliens, I don't even like using that word. I use it in my art, but I don't even like using that word, but because they don't call themselves aliens. Like, hey, what's your name? Oh, we're the aliens. How are you? No, it doesn't work like that. Not at all. whether they're from a certain star system, which how do we know that the angels aren't from another star system? I know that there's so much information over the years from other prophets and people having their own encounters, gazing into the heavens and seeing things moving in and out of star systems. Orion, I'm so intrigued with Orion every time I stargaze, and then seeing craft or beings. They might not even be craft. I know a lot of times they're actual beings, and they're not nuts and bolts ships. Like, these are beings. There's so much footage of these things morphing and changing shape in the air and in outer space. And some people have some really crazy footage, man. And it's like a ship that just morphs into another ship or something. It's just crazy stuff. I don't even know. But I do know that the scriptures talk about the seraphim. And she mentioned the book of Enoch earlier. The book of Enoch talks about that the angels of the Most High are as a flame of fire. They're made out of the fire of God. The word seraphim itself is translated the fiery ones or the fiery serpents. In the book of Psalms, it says that the Lord maketh his ministering spirits, his warring angels, as a flame of fire. So that kind of reiterates what Enoch's talking about. And Hebrews repeats that, the book of Hebrews. So talks about these fiery beings. Enoch talks about they have the ability at will when they're in heaven and they travel at the speed of light or faster than the speed of light. They look like fire. And as they will, they can come to earth and take upon the appearance of men. And Hebrews talks about, like she was talking about as well, looking like people. Hebrews says that we entertain angels unaware. We don't even know it. We're having interaction with angels. Messengers is what the word angel means. They come with a message, with a spirit, with a vibration, with a thought form. And all of this stuff is beautiful. And it's just different layers, man. If we look at the different hierarchies of angels, and we don't even talk about aliens, just keep it angelic, keep it biblical. If that's what you want to do, we can do that. But if we do that, then there's so much mystery and intrigue, but I think that they're interlocked. I think that we are able to go out and see angels traveling back and forth. It tells us that in the scriptures. It tells us that, I believe it's, Jeremiah, I want to say, that talks about the angels traveling back and forth. And it talks about them answering prayers and carrying prayers and all types of roles that the angels do and they operate. And Enoch goes into a lot of detail about it. The book of Enoch is mentioned of in the book of Jude in the Bible. And you guys have heard me say this before, but my intrigue is like, I'm a biblical theologian. I get into the scriptures. I've studied them for years. I know them in and out. And I don't know them like an expert. Like, I have to quit studying them. There's just so much. Every time you read it, there's something new in those scriptures. And you get a deeper understanding. If you don't study the ET phenomena, if you don't study Enoch, you're not going to understand the Bible. You're not. The Bible isn't one book anyway. The Bible is many books and letters and writings that were collected and put together into Bible, Biblios, or the little book. So many books put together. Letters collected from church, sent to churches and collected to put in a book. So there's other books that are mentioned in the Bible. And I'll need to do probably a show on this or just a teaching just to kind of give you guys the references, because I have all the research. I have everything printed out and all the studying. This was early stuff for me, being able to do this. And so to understand that the book of Shemaiah, the prophet, that's mentioned of in the Bible, the book of Edu, the prophet, the book of the wars of the Israelites, the book of Jasher, the book of Enoch, all of these are quoted by prophets and quoted by sages. And I'm interested in what was in those books. The book of Giants, all kind of stuff mentioned of in the Bible. I can show you this stuff, and I'll probably do a video on it. So with all that being said, it's like, it gets deep. It gets deep, whether we're tracing it from a biblical perspective or not, if you even follow that narrative. but I know it's getting popular now. Like the Book of Enoch is very popular now. Remember some years ago when we were getting into it, it was like, oh, stay away from that book. But now they teach it in many churches. Like, you know, I remember seeing several years back and it was so awesome because I am a Benny Hinn fan. I do appreciate a lot of Benny Hinn's teachings about the Holy Spirit and spending intimacy with God and things like that. So I remember watching an episode of, I don't know if it's This Is Your Day, whatever the name of the TBN show is with Paul Crouch, who was like the founder of TBN. He had Benny Hinn and they were just having a conversation and they were talking about angels and talking about demons and stuff. And Benny Hinn began to go into the Book of Enoch on his show and he blew Paul Crouch's head off. Paul was like, Benny, I've been saved for 47 years and I've never heard this information. And Benny Hinn's like, yep, it's taken out of the Bible. He's like dropping knowledge on them and everybody's got their jaw dropped in the audience. And it's hilarious, man. But I was like, oh yeah, I got a kick out of that. He was blowing their head off with some of this deeper esoteric knowledge about the spirit realm. So if you're looking to study how spirits operate, if you're looking to study how to have power and authority over them, you got to go to Enoch. You have to. To understand the Bible, you gotta understand Enoch. Can't leave it out. Because the early church understood it. The early church understood the Testament of Solomon and all of these apocryphal works. The Apocrypha, even that, was like 14 books that were taken out of the Bible that were used in the 1611 King James Version. Like it literally was part of the King James, but then they took out 14 books. I've got the 1611 version as well with all of these books in it. Some beautiful stuff in there. Some debatable stuff. Some stuff that they can't rationalize. So they took it out and threw it out. But with that being said about the books that talk about these angels and talk about these heavenly encounters, there are some books out there that I believe were created to deceive people. Whether we're talking about a lot of the Gnostic texts, we're talking about even the Urantia book. Like I want to believe the Urantia book is real, but my spirit turns when I read. It's just so, I could feel the intention behind it and the wording. They're trying to word it to sound like the Bible. It's just insane. Anyway, that's my spiel on the books. That's my spiel on Christianity and the UFO community and stuff like that. They say it's all demons, so I don't even entertain that stuff anymore. That's definitely, because you don't understand it, you demonize it, call it demonic. Nah, I can't deal with that no more. Maybe years ago we could have dealt with that. Not anymore. So, anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I love talking to interesting people, especially, I mean, this lady built a UFO watchtower on her property. It's this big platform, and they got this big dome, and creating a sanctuary, man. Like I said, I did that. And my property went out there and we had a bunch of people. We worked and cut down trees and we had big trees in the way. And my father-in-law was out there with me. I was like, I want that tree gone. Oh, no, let's leave that one. I said, nope, I'm cutting it down because you couldn't see. You cut the tree down and it would open up. So I got this big circle in my backyard where I would just go out there and just stargaze and spend nights laying on sheets looking at the stars. And once the weather cools off again, I'm going to be doing that again very soon. I miss those times. This conversation with Judy, that intrigue and that want to get back out there and make contact again. And once you make contact and you know that something's going on, you start having these encounters, it shows you like how focused you are on the things around you and the things of this world when all you had to do was look up to make contact. All you had to do was look up and you could see this stuff. During the day, I know it was dangerous for me, but when I was a truck driver, man, like that's when I would have a lot of encounter. I would pull over on the side of the road and just gaze for a while as well, early hours of the morning, and see stuff. But I'd be driving, I'm looking at traffic, and then I'm looking up, you know, while I'm driving, I'm traveling the country, you know. So with that being said, I mean, there's so many, even like, entertainers and notable people who have had encounters who like to talk about it. Muhammad Ali had one of the coolest quotes about UFOs, he said that he would go out in the early morning jogging, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning before the sun comes up. And he says you can see them like they were playing tag in the morning sky, playing tag. And you do see a lot of activity right before the sun comes up. You do see a lot. And, you know, there's some awesome quotes out there. People have seen some awesome stuff. So with that, I'm going to say bless and shalom, man. Thanks for hanging out with me. Love you guys. Make sure you guys support on Patreon if you want to support my work and what I'm doing at any level. Now more than ever, I really do need your help. I need your help to make this stuff happen. And you guys are coming out of the woodwork supporting. I'm blown away. Really am. People are coming out of the woodwork, giving a little bit. Got a lot of people giving a little. And so it's just stacking up and just people are helping. And I appreciate everyone. Head on over to patreon.com/truthseeker and pick any level of giving. You get free, not free music, but you get my entire discography. It costs you $100 to buy all the albums anyway. Just go there, sign up, and you get to download it all. And you get unreleased music. People are asking me, True Seeker, when you coming out with new music? When's a new album, brother? Brother, when's a new album coming? The new music is already out. It's on Patreon. Patreon.com/TruthSeeker. With that, I'm going to say peace and shalom, and God bless each and every one of you guys. Peace. You're so much higher than mine. So much higher than mine. So much deeper than mine. So much deeper than mine. Well, that does it for this episode, folks. To hear more episodes of the Truth Seeker podcast, head over to truthseeker.com. And if you're wanting to support the show and get rewards, go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/truthseeker.